in about a week. Phil Collins, Tony Banks, and Mike Rutherford are with me right now. And maybe, Phil, you could tell us something about the rehearsals that you've been doing now for the past couple of weeks. Yes. What are the purpose, mainly, of the rehearsals?
To make us sound professional.
It has been a little while since you toured the UK.
Well, the last thing we did in England was Nebworth, which was June 78. But we spent most of 1978 on the road in, you know, like in America and Europe. But we didn't do anything in 1979 as far as live playing is concerned. So it takes a while to get the old, you know, thing back into well-oiled, you know.
Mm. I mean, you've got the lights rigged up and you've got all your sound balancing equipment and everything there. I mean, is it just purely getting the playing right that the rehearsals are all about, Tony?
No, I mean, to start off with, it's just getting the playing right, to remember the old songs and to learn the new songs. Also, of course, to rehearse the two members who aren't on the LP, which is Chester Thompson on drums and Daryl Stemmer on guitar. But now we're sort of getting into the stage where we're rehearsing the lights a lot more and any effects that we might care to use. And also thinking about the order of the set and trying to play it in one.
Mm. I mean, how long do the rehearsals, in fact, take altogether, Mike?
This time it's been about a month, 2 weeks music by ourselves and then 2 weeks with the lights and the full rig.
And is it a fairly disciplined thing where you come in sort of every day at regular times and go through the repertoire, as it were?
Yes, I mean, you know, some of us are earlier and later than others, but we sort of do. we always start off at the first day, it's 10:30, and by the end of the fourth week, it's, you know, it's about 12 when we start.
I would have thought the rehearsals might be almost as grueling as actually going out and playing themselves if you do it that intensely.
Yeah, well, I mean, the moment the set takes about 3 days to get through, you know, because there's a lot of working out to do. But, day after day, I mean, it's a bit having to sort of... The first song we play in the set, for instance, we start about 12, and the throat isn't exactly warmed up, so you tend to get a bit throaty by the end of the day. It's easy to do a gig, actually.
Right. We're going to play some music now from the forthcoming album. The album is called Duke, and this is a track called Duchess. All three of you wrote this song, so, Tony, I'll ask you who the Duchess is.
Oh, Duchess, well, she's a singing star, really. It tells the rise and fall of a female singing star. It was fairly sort of a contemporary thing, since indeed a lot of women come into the forefront in the rock scene at the moment.
That was Duchess from the forthcoming Genesis LP. And with me is Phil Collins and Mike Rutherford and Tony Banks at Shepperton Studios. And, Phil, you mentioned that 1979 was a quiet year for the band, and I seem to remember even rumors in the business of Genesis, in fact, splitting up. I mean, how close to the truth were those rumors?
No, it wasn't really quite as close as that. No, it's purely a fact of, I got separated from my family, and I spent most of that year trying to sort all that stuff out, and Mike and Tony quite sensibly did their own albums rather than sort of making rash decisions about what was going to happen, because I was going to go to Vancouver, as we talked about earlier. And we all wanted to do individual things anyway, and it just seemed that, you know, that was a good enough time to do it. So we did plan to do an English tour somewhere in the middle of last year, but circumstance didn't allow it, so...
I mean, you guys must be well pleased with the reaction to the ticket sales as soon as it was announced, queues in the streets, miles long, people going out. Did it surprise you at all?
Well, it's a little, I suppose. You know, when you've been off the road for, effectively off the road in England for about 2 years, you know, and you haven't had any albums out or anything, you really don't know if people still remember you a bit, really, because this business is very fickle. And it's very sort of heartening, you know, because I think all the tickets were supposed to have been sold within 90 minutes or something, which was great, yeah.
Mm. Genesis, of course, have a history of really lavish stage productions. I mean, that obviously goes back from when Peter Gabriel was with the band as well. But even since then, you've spent a lot of time really... putting a lot of work into the stage production. Is that going to be the same for this tour around, Mike?
Yes, I think, however, this tour is probably slightly simpler because, as opposed to what a lot of bands do, which is to build a big, you know, production they're going to use and then say, where can we play? We've gone the other way around this time, is to say we're playing these places, like a lot of small towns in England, Scotland and Wales, which a lot of bands don't play, and then we've said, we'll do what we can do in these halls. So it's obviously slightly cut down because it is smaller halls.
How many dates, in fact, are you going to be playing altogether, do you know? I was just told it was something over 40.
Yes, it is about 40, actually.
Is that the most grueling tour that you've ever done in this country?
As a tour, I think, yeah. But in the old days, when we used to do that kind of gigs.
Yeah.
We used to do quite a few gigs on the trot. I mean, 300 gigs. Oh, no.
200 gigs.
Yeah, 200 gigs out of a year, yeah. So it went through maybe a period where we didn't do the tours of England. We haven't toured England properly since 1977, so it's quite a long one for us, really.
You've got a lot of equipment, of course, to maintain, and guitars and instruments and what have you to carry around. How many people actually go along with you on a tour of this size?
Well, it does vary. You know, I'm not sure how many we got this year. I mean, last year, you see, when the show got to its most involved and we did a lot of festivals in Europe, we were carrying around about 70, 80 people. You know, it was quite absurd. This year, it'll be an awful lot less.
I want to come to some more music now from the album Duke, and this is a Phil Collins song. It's called Misunderstanding, and maybe it would be best if you told us about this particular song.
Oh, it's Boy Meets Girl, Boy Loses Girl. It's an old American heartthrob song.
Genesis from the album Duke, and that was called Misunderstanding. And this album is the first in a long while from the band. The album titled Duke, is that significant at all, Mike?
Only in a sense it was a working title for quite a lot of the large section of the sort of group written stuff while we were doing it. And it seemed, at the end, it just seemed to... it summed up a lot of the mood. I think we think that this album is a lot more direct and sort of harder edge than we have had for a while. And Duke's kind of word a bit like it, so we used it.
I mean, people have reacted to the single in that very way, saying that it's got a harder edge to it and sounds almost un-Genesis-like because of that.
I think that's great in a sense. What one is always trying to do to a degree is to try and sound different to what you sounded before. You know, in a group situation like this where you've been going for quite a while, quite a few years. Grey head.
It's 10 years now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been more, actually. It's quite a while.
I notice on the single, actually, on the label, there's three little fat men with rather small heads but large bodies. And I'm wondering who these guys represent. Is it the three of you or who?
Yes, that's us. No, basically, the artwork for the album was done by a French artist called Lionel Cochelin. And the actual figure... Albert, who is the sort of figure on the front cover. This is a sort of smaller version of him.
Oh, I see, he appears on the album cover as well.
Yeah. And in fact, the idea was taken from a children's ABC book, and there's lots of little sort of figures like that.
So he's not the Duke or anything like that?
No, I don't think so, no.
You went to Sweden, of course, too, for the recording of the album. Why Sweden?
Well, Mike and Tony had both done their own albums there, and Dave Henschel, our producer, he liked the studio a lot, and the facilities... The facilities are fantastic, actually. The studio is set out in a very nice way that you can actually, separate yourself from each other, so sound-wise, and while still sort of being able to look at each other, which is not easy in some studios.
It's the same studios, in fact, that ABBA used, isn't it?
Well, they own it, but I don't think they ever use it because they can never get in there. Because everyone's always booked. And they were across the road when we were there because they couldn't get in.
Mike, your album, solo album, and Tony's was as well, recorded in Sweden. And that seems to be doing really well at the moment in the charts and the single from it as well. Maybe you could tell us about Small Creeps Day, where the actual title comes from, because it is a bit of a concept album as such, isn't it?
Yes, I basically did side one about... it's a book called Small Creeps Day, which is a book I read a while ago. Actually, it's a book Tony suggested to me a long time ago. And a lot of the material was sort of short sections, and it seemed a good idea to... join together to make a long song. So I needed a lyrical idea, so I went back to the book.
Right. This next track on the album Duke we're going to play is, in fact, one of your songs, and that's Alone Tonight. Was this song originally considered for your solo album, or did you write this with the band in mind?
No, last year worked out quite well because we did... I think it's always a problem if you have a situation where you're writing material and you're saying, now, is this for the solo, is this for the group? In fact, what we did last year was to do the solo albums, write them, finish them, and then start writing for the group album, so there was no kind of overlap. So I did this for the group one at the time.
Right, it's a lovely track, Alone Tonight. That was Alone Tonight. There seems to be a lot of group songs, in fact, on the album, and I wonder how that's done with you three, who are obviously very proficient musicians, and you have your own activities. You've got solo albums out, Phil, of course, with Brand X. When you actually write together, how that happens?
It does vary a little bit from track to track. There are two main ways, which the most successful way, I think, definitely, is when we get somebody has an idea, maybe very simple, a little more than a very short riff or a chord sequence, and then we just jam around on it for hours on end, which would be very boring for anyone else to listen to. But for us, we kind of develop a song out of that. Examples on this album, I think, would be Behind the Lines and Duchess, particularly. The other way we do it is by combining bits, one by one person and by another, and then often, you know, allowing the whole group to sort of arrange it and turn it on again is an example of that.
I mean, when you are writing together like this, I mean, do you have to hire a big hall, as it were, and get all the equipment out again, or do you? Is it really done around a piano and very quietly?
This album was written in Phil's bedroom. It's quite strange because we live quite close to each other around sort of Guildford Way, and he's got a music room there which we went to look at, you see, and it's great, but it's a little bit small for the whole of us, all of us, and we kept walking past his bedroom, which is a great size, and none of us dared say, what about that room? And eventually we...
As I never go to bed, I thought, no, I moved the bed out into the spare room, and there we were, suddenly.
How do you decide what you're actually going to put on the album? I've often wondered this, because the three of you obviously write an awful lot of stuff, and when it comes down to it, is it simply just a vote as to what appears on the album in the end?
Sure. The most important thing is basically that we all feel stronger about some songs than others. I mean, on this album, I put two of my own songs for the first time, because I don't usually, you know, up until the last year, I didn't actually write anything on my own at all. I was just, last year I've written a lot of songs and I brought some in, and so we decided to use two of mine. And Mike and Tony both had, like, we started rehearsing through each of theirs. And because of the amount of group stuff, there was only a limited amount of time, so we just decided to have, like, a couple from each. But usually, I mean, the only way from day one to when we finish the album, it's just down to what tracks excite everybody the most, irrelevant of who wrote what, you know.
What about the songs that you're going to play on the current tour, because your repertoire is so vast? I mean, how is that decided?
Well, we really just decide, first of all, we take from the new album what we think we want to play, what we think will sound good. In this particular case, I think it'll be all the group material. We might do one or two of the other songs, but we probably won't. And then we just look back through earlier material and decide what will fit in best with that, what will contrast with it and complement it, and also what we feel like playing. And in this case, I think it's songs mainly from The Lamb's Down on Broadway onwards, Trick of the Tail and Wind and Wuthering, and not much from before.
Mm. Well, now that Phil's situation has been resolved and you've got a new album out, as it were, are you still going to concentrate, the three of you, on solo projects, Mike?
We never really look ahead very far, although, I mean, in terms of planning, you know, our manager has a sort of 10-year plan, but we tend to go 2 months ahead. I think this album has shown us that by working outside the group, Phil's always done it, all the time, he's a workaholic, but it's really the first time Tony and I have worked outside the group, and it's really helped claim out the group. There's a lot of fresh group material. It gave the group a new sort of burst of energy, I think, and having learned that, I think we'll carry on doing it, but the problem really is when there is time, because the group's very demanding time-wise, so we just sort of fit it in, I think.
And after the UK tour then, Phil, what plans? Is it off to Australia or America or somewhere like that?
Yeah, we're going to America. We've got a few days off. This is enough time for the gear to get across the water. And then we'll be doing a six-week tour of America. And after that, well, we come back and I want to do my own album. Solo.
Well, the Brand X or a completely solo?
A solo thing, yeah. The Brand X, actually, we've got another album coming out, which I've got nothing to do with. That was just like, you know, I sort of went back in the camp for a little while and then came out again. And as my album, then I think we're going to try and do another Genesis album before the end of the year. That's what we'd like to do. But so basically, we're touring for the next 3 or 4 months.
Well, you were described by Mike as a workaholic, so presumably you look forward to all the kind of work ahead then for the band.
Yeah, well, we haven't been on the road for such a long time. I'm looking forward to that. And my own thing is something I've been wanting to do for a long time anyway. So I'm really excited by that. So, yes, things are looking up for me, yeah.
Okay, Phil. Now, Tony, and finally, we have time to play just one more track from the Duke album, and this is Cul-de-Sac. So I'll ask you about this song and how this came to be.
Well, it was originally written to be about the demise of the dinosaur. But in fact, it could be slightly more general than that and apply to the demise of any, or the human race or whatever, you know. It's sort of the instrumental elements in this song, I think, are rather more important perhaps than the lyric. You know, it starts off with quite a long, fairly softish, piano-based introduction. And it's a rather grandiose sort of production and very different, I think, from anything else on the LP.